This afternoon, we want to conclude our study together of the subject of anxiety. And what we're looking at in this time is that we're looking at not only defining and understanding the causes of anxiety, but how to overcome anxiety. Knowing what it is, and knowing how it can affect us, and knowing what we can do, and the dangers of it, we have to look at how we can overcome it. And again, we finished out this morning looking at the fact that we need to trust God. We want to continue that particular thought and understand that while the Christian may feel isolated when he has stress and anxiety and difficulty, in reality he's not alone and he's not isolated because God is on his side. In Psalms chapter 23 and verse 4, a very familiar psalm to most of us, probably the most familiar of all the psalms that were ever written, is the 23rd Psalm. And that is a psalm of comfort. Many times you'll see this psalm, it's used at times of funerals. And it's a psalm of comfort to know in actuality that God is someone that we know is concerned about our difficulty. And in verse 4 of that psalm it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff do comfort me." You know, Christians look at death in a very different way than those in the world do. Death is not the end, but death is the beginning of a transition. And death is a release of sorts. It's a release of trial, struggle, tribulation, trials of many different things, and the difficulties of life that we have to deal with on an everyday basis. But it's not something that we are looking forward to or wanting to hasten along, but it should not cause us to fear. If we have repaired our life, our death is a blessing. It is not a loss. But you can't understand that if you don't truly trust God. If you don't truly understand that even when you face the chilling waters of death, and we even sing about this, that when you go through that proverbial, you cross over that proverbial Jordan to go to the place of the unknown, that you're not going to make that journey alone. That's not something that you're going to go through alone. God is going to be with you to guide you, to help you, to ease you through. And that should give us great calm. That should give us great security, understanding that if I trust God, as we said this morning, if you put your hands in God's hands and you trust Him unequivocally and without reservation, nothing this world can throw at you is going to destroy your faith. It'll rock it. It'll sometimes cause it to bend a little, but it will never be overcome. Because you have the divine promise that wherever you go and whatever you have to deal with, God will see you through. And that should give us great peace and great comfort. Jesus, before he left this earth, gave his parting instruction to his disciples. He sent them into the world to preach the gospel to every creature. And in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, the gospel of Matthew ends with this statement. It says, "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We know and understand that all along the way, God has promised to help us. Now that doesn't mean, we need to understand what that means. That doesn't mean he's going to take all the discouragement away. It doesn't mean he's going to take all the difficulty away. It doesn't mean that you're not going to face trial. It doesn't mean that your faith is not going to be tested. All that's going to happen to you. All that's happened to me, and I know it's happened to you. But what God has promised us, that our trials, our problems, our difficulties cannot destroy your faith without your help. You have to be part and parcel to have that happen. People don't lose their faith because of their trials. They lose their faith because they don't trust God enough and because they try to deal with it alone. And that's why God emphasizes in the Bible that we need to understand where our strength lies. It lies with God. It always has. It always will. And that's how you overcome anxiety. You fully and totally commit yourself to trust God and His ways. Trusting God can help us overcome anxiety. And while we do feel isolated, we know that God is on our side. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 and verse 6. You know, we talk many times about God's promises. And you know, the promises of rest, the promise of eternal life, the promise that He will help us overcome temptation, that He will make a means of escape, the promises of the reward if we're faithful. But listen to another promise that Jesus makes in verses 5 and 6 of Hebrews 13. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Look at the end of verse 5. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Brethren, that is a divine promise. That at no time will God turn His back upon you. At no time will He leave you. The leaving and the departing must come from us. If we depart from God, if we turn our back on God, that is our decision. There is nothing in life that can cause you to give up God unless you allow it. God has promised, and this is as much a promise as anything that God has said, that He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will never turn His back upon us. He will always be there to help. He will always be there to strengthen, to guide, to edify. But brethren, it doesn't mean a thing if you don't believe it. You can read it. You can understand its meaning. But if you don't believe it in your life, then it has absolutely no value to you. That's why the Bible calls us a special treasure. A special people. A blessed people. Brother Conover, in his prayers many times, will mention the statement, we are the most blessed people that live here on this earth. And brethren, every child of God could say amen to that. Because we truly are. We are truly blessed. We are truly have much to be thankful for. Even when things don't go the way that we plan, even when things don't work all the way that we would like them to, when we look at the total package, when we look at our total life, and we look at what God blessed us with, how can we say, how can we even believe that we truly are all blessed people? And you see, we have the divine assurance from God that we'll never be isolated. The only way you can isolate yourself from God is if you do. And I've seen many people isolate themselves. I've seen people who have tremendous problems, and they're real, and they're difficult, and it's very stressful, and it's very uncertain, and the problems are real. I understand that. But the answer is never, ever to leave God. That's not an answer. That's another problem. And that's even a greater problem than whatever you're dealing with. The time to leave God is not when you don't see the way out. That's the most time that you need to depend upon God. Because He's the only one that can help you see the way out. He's the only one that can give you hope. And so we have this assurance from God. We need to trust in God in overcoming anxiety because the remedy for anxiety is complete trust in God's ability to deal with anything that threatens us. Brother, do you think there's anything that we face that God doesn't have a solution to? Is there any problem that you're going to have that God doesn't know how to deal with that? Remember what He told the disciples before He left? John chapter 14, when He's having that private conversation with those 11 men. Remember what He told them? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You know, and I mentioned this morning in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. What does it mean, brethren, to have complete, unwavering trust? What does that mean? I'll tell you what that means. That means when I face a difficulty, and when I have a tough road ahead of me, that God has told me the way to deal with it. But part of the unwavering trust, part of the unwavering and uncompromising assurance from God is that whatever He tells me, whatever He has instructed me to do, that is in my best interest to do that. And if I will follow His instruction, then the best possible way of it having a good outcome is doing it God's way. Do you trust God that much? Are you assured and do you believe that His ways are the best ways? And do you understand that you can do anything? I'll bear our sign for this week to the thing, you and God can overcome anything. And brethren, that's the truth. There's nothing that you're facing in this world that you can't overcome with God's help. I'm not telling you it's going to be pleasant. I'm not telling you that it's something that you're going to enjoy going through. I'm not telling you that. But what I am telling you is that it won't destroy you. It won't overwhelm you to the point that you lose your faith and you lose your soul. But then, not only do we have to trust Him, we have to talk to Him. We have to pray in faith. God has promised the peace of mind to those who are willing to commit their anxieties and their difficulties to Him. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. This is a book, it's a very short book, four chapters, but it is a book dedicated to the theme of the joy of being a Christian and the joy that we should have in being a child of God. And in Philippians chapter 4, and verse 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Philippi, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your minds and hearts through Jesus Christ." Now, what does it mean when it says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds"? When we turn over our difficulties to God, and when we do all that we can to deal with whatever the problem or situation is in our life, and we pray about it, and we pour out our need to God, you have done all you can do. You can't do anything else. And you should have the assurance that you've done exactly what God wanted you to do. And whatever the outcome, whatever happens, you know that you did what you could, and you know that God will do what He can. And that should give you comfort. That should give you peace of mind. But brethren, there is no peace of mind when you try to do this by yourself. There is no assurance that it's going to come out right. There's no assurance that it won't destroy you. There's no guarantee that it won't overwhelm you. But there is when you walk with God. When you walk with God, the outcome will be the best that it can be. We have to believe that. God has promised us that. Praying in faith, we have peace of mind. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. It says, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as a faithful Creator." How difficult it is to commit your life to God when you suffer according to His will. You know what? As you grow older, you're going to suffer some. Things are not going to be like they always have been. Things are not going to be like they used to be. And as we grow old, we grow feeble. And as we grow feeble, we have difficulties of age that there's nothing in medicine that they can do about it. And there's no way of stopping the age process. No way of stopping that. If they could do that, my grandchildren would never get any older. They'd stay exactly where they're at. But I can't do that, and we can't do that. And so we must, should we look forward to our older age and doom and gloom? I don't hope not. Because if you do, it's going to make it even worse. You do what you can. But there's some things that you're just going to have to accept. There's some things that's going to happen that you would rather not happen. There are some things that will happen that you wish there was another route, there was another avenue, there was a different way, a different path. And if you had your way, you'd walk down a different path, but sometimes you don't get that choice. You know, it's the old adage, you got to play the hand that was dealt to you. But sometimes the hand is not very pleasant, you like to pass on it. But we always don't have that prerogative. And so what we have to do is we have to pray to God to help us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. And that's why the Bible tells us that we ought to encourage and love one another. We can help do that too. We need to trust Him. Another way that you can overcome anxiety and stress is that you can read and meditate upon the Word of God. The most important thing you can do to overcome anxiety is to study the Scriptures. And pray and meditate on God's promises to His faithful people. You see, the Scriptures are not going to make the tears go away. They're not going to miraculously make the problem disappear. But what it will do is it will give you hope. It will give you courage to face that problem directly and to do everything you can do, and then take comfort in you've done all that you can do. Now, brethren, sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes we balk at accepting the statement. How many times do you hear men pray at this table or in this pulpit and say, not your will, but thy will be done? Do you believe that? Do you have enough faith to let God's will be done in your life? Whatever that might be. I don't know what all that is. I don't know what that will be in the future. I don't have a crystal ball. God hasn't told us. And I've been asked many times in my life, why do some people have a more difficult path than others? Why do some people seem to have more problems? I don't have the answer to that. Now, sometimes I do. Sometimes that path is more difficult because of decisions that people have made. But brethren, that's not always so. Sometimes people just have a difficult path because it happens that way. But we have to look in God's Word. Remember what Romans 15:4 says? It says, for all the things that were written beforehand were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You know, there's things that can encourage you. Think about Joseph for a minute. He is a man who had a special blessing that God gave him, to be able to have the ability to understand visions and dreams. But because he had that ability and his brothers didn't understand it, and because his father's favoritism, because he was a child of his old age, that it caused jealousy and envy by his brothers. And it got so bad that he was sold into slavery. And then he was traded from the Ishmaelites to Egyptians, and he went to Potiphar's house. And when he was standing to do the right thing, when he was tempted to sin against God and his master, he would not succumb. He did exactly what God expected him to do. And what did he get in return? He got prison for 2 years because of a false charge. Now, what could have happened in prison? He could have wallowed in self-pity. He could have thought God turned his back upon him. He could have said, look, I did what was right, look what happened to me. But he didn't do that. He never lost his faith. And in the end, he saved the nation of Israel. when they went down to Egypt. But you know what we forget about Joseph? It took personal courage and it took personal faith to act, to have that done. God placed him there and he understood that. Remember when his brothers thought, now that Israel is dead, now he'll get even. And remember he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good that we might, that he might preserve life. He understood that God had a bigger plan. But brethren, don't let that underestimate the personal faith that Joseph had to have in God to be able to carry that plan forth. And what about Daniel? Daniel's enemies were envious of him. They didn't like the fact that a Jew was over them in Babylon. And so they tried to find some fault with him, and so they could try to find some fault that they could get him out of the way and they could remove him from his position. But you know what? They knew the character of Daniel well enough that they knew the only flaw that they could find is in his religion. They had to get something that would go against his religion. And so they cooked up the scheme of making a decree sign that anybody that prayed to any other god other than the Babylonian king, that they would be cast into the den of lions. But you read Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, when the decree was signed, and Daniel knew it was signed, he went into his room like he did every day, three times a day. He looked toward Jerusalem and he prayed to his God. Now brethren, that wasn't miraculous. That was his faith. And he was delivered. But you know what? He didn't know he'd be delivered. He didn't know he'd be delivered any more than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember what they said? The king said, you just made a mistake. You just made a mistake. Now, you bow down to the music and we'll forget all about this. And you remember what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said in Daniel 3? He said, we didn't make a mistake. He said, we don't need to answer you about this. Even if you throw us in that furnace, and even if God doesn't deliver us, we're not bowing to that image because we serve God. Brethren, that's faith in action. When I think of men like Joseph, men like Daniel, men like Paul, men like Amos and Hosea, men like Jeremiah, who didn't take a wife because God knew what he was going to bring upon Egypt. And Hosea married a harlot, and he was told, when she goes back to harlotry, you don't go after her, and you don't grieve over her. Oh. But they survived, didn't they? And when Abraham was told to put his son on an altar, to give his life with no explanation, he didn't argue. He didn't ask why. But Hebrews 11 tells us why. Because he knew that God promised that the seed promised would go through his son. And for that to happen, Isaac would have to live. And Abraham believed in his heart that even if he took his life, God would revive and give him back. Brethren, I read these stories and I just marvel at my lack of faith. But these men, and there's many cases of women like Esther. You see, they completely trusted God. And brethren, that's what you and I have to do. And they're not throwing us in the den of lions. We're not going to be sold to a band of traitors. And we're not going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. All God wants us to do is to stand up in this world and not jump on the bandwagon with them, but to be different and to put our faith and our trust in him. In God's Word, you know, that's why these stories are in the Bible. They're telling us how to get that done. It's explaining how it is accomplished. But you know, one of the things that you must do to overcome anxiety and stress is you got to be realistic. Peace of mind does not depend on solving all the problems, on righting all the wrongs, removing all the imperfections. There's a lot of things in this world that I'd like to change, folks. I'm not going to be able to. I'd like to be able to start over with our government. But even in all of its imperfection, it's the best government on the face of this earth. We must learn not to let go of some problems and allow the Lord to be in charge of them. Remember the passage you read this morning, casting our care upon Him, for He cares for you. Solve the problems you can solve. Fix the things that you can fix. And what you can't fix, accept and learn to live with them. Learn to accept them. And don't look at them as a negative, look at them as a positive. Easier said than done. Isn't it? And we all know that. Why? Because we got to be realistic. We have to be realistic. We have to let go. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Look at verse 16 and 17. Some things will not change. Some problems don't have any solutions. We must just live through some situations. When I appalled my heart to know the wisdom and see the business that is done on the earth, even though one sees no sleep day or night, then I saw all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, for though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it all, he will not be able to find it. Brethren, there's some problems that there are no solutions to. There are some difficulties that must be endured. There are some trials and tribulations that you're going to have to go through. And there's no safe, easy, shortcut remedy to fix it. Let me give you a couple examples. You get a terminal disease. Everything medically can be done has been done. You go into the doctors tomorrow. You're not feeling well. And you have a series of tests. And those tests, you're sitting there in front of the doctor and he says, I've got some bad news. You have inoperable cancer. And you have about 6 months at the most. What do you do? Is that going to change your life? Oh yeah, it's going to change your life. But now you can take something negative and you can turn it into positive. You know, I've seen men and women face that situation. And I have lived to admire their faith and their dignity and how they handled it. I watched a very good friend of mine die. A very painful and slow death. But I remember going to see him and him being more concerned with what was happening in my life than his life is ending. And whenever I would go to visit him and I would pray with him, you know what he would do after I prayed with him? He said, let me pray for you before you leave. He's dying. And I got trouble. But he cared enough for me that he showed more compassion to be worried about me than about the fact that he, in a few short period of time, would not be here. Brethren, those people are real. And they're no different than you and me. The only difference in us is our degree and our strength of our faith. And I pray and I hope every day of my life, if that sentence ever comes to me, that I handle it like he did. That I die, not just with dignity, but I die living the faith that I professed all my life. Because even if I die, I win. Why do you think Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 that I am between two things? To die to be with Christ, which is far better, or to be here and to help you. Brethren, we need to be realistic. And we need to understand that we need to look at things and change the things we can change, fix the things that can be fixed, but the things we have to endure, to do it, and to do it without complaining, to accept it. Because let me tell you about that too. Many times you're going to talk to people who go through cancer treatments, and you know what? One of the things the doctors will tell you, your attitude means a whole lot. Believe it, how you think about it has a lot to do with how you deal with it and how successful your treatment will be. We need to set our minds to overcome worry. Abraham Lincoln once made this statement, "I have been as happy as I have made up my mind to be." What a truth. Isn't that the truth? You're only going to be as happy as miserable as you set your mind to be. If you want to be miserable, you're going to be miserable. If you want to be happy, you can be happy. But you have to be realistic. In Philippians chapter 4, this is Paul's advice. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue in there, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think about the good things that God has promised you. Think about the reward that's awaiting for you. Think about the assurance that you have that even if you leave this life, it's going to be better for you. And brethren, everybody that loves you and cares everything about you, the example you set, you will give them more comfort of anything that you could buy for them. You need to be realistic. I like this quote. I saw it on the internet. The little girl said, "Today I push my thoughts around, and the other day I let my thoughts push me around." How many of us have done that? I've done that. Have you done that? We let our problems push us around. Instead of dealing with them, instead of accepting them, simply doing what we can, we allow them to overwhelm. We allow them to cause us to lose our faith. We cause them to make it more difficult for us. In Colossians 2 Corinthians 10, verse 10, chapter 10, verse 5, it says, "Casting down arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity." Brethren, you've got to learn to control your life. Don't let your life control you. It's a choice. You have to make the choice. You can allow the circumstances of your life to guide your life, to direct your life, to set you to worry, to set you to fret, to set you to have anxiety, or you can face them realistically, you can do the best you can do, you can ask God to help you, and you can go and move on and do the best you can and do things in a way that brings glory and honor to God and strengthens everybody that watches you deal with it. You know, we talk about this all the time. They write songs about it. We've quoted a lot. You got to learn to live one day at a time. Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its worries and sorrows. It only empties today of its strength. Many, if not most, of our fears turn out to be unfounded. In Matthew 6, verse 34, remember how Jesus ended this paragraph on anxiety and stress? He said, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient is the day for itself." Brethren, just deal with today. If we could learn to master this, if we could learn to master today, just deal with today. Yesterday's gone. Learn whatever lessons you can learn. You can't rewind it. You can't erase it. And you can't change it. And tomorrow, you don't have any promise of it. You just deal with today. And brethren, let me tell you, that'll be enough. If we want just to deal with today, that's enough. But today is what you have. Today is the one that you should worry about. Another thing that helps when you have anxiety, stress, is to stay busy. Under adverse circumstances, we accomplish more good if we do what we can instead of about thinking about what we cannot do. Anxiety and idleness often go hand in hand. Despair is a form of laziness. Blessed is the person who is too busy to worry in the daytime and too tired to worry at night. Brethren, I want you to think about this for a moment. You stay busy. You do what you can. And don't worry about what you can't do. Don't stress about what you don't have the ability to do, what you don't have the opportunity to do, and what's out of your control to do. Accept your role. Accept God's role. And then move forward. That's what God wants us to do. That's the best way. And another thing that will help us is to learn to be content. Learn contentment. We can rejoice in the Lord always if we continually count our blessings. Anxiety often comes from having too much rather than having too little. Our wealth depends so much on what we have, on what we have learned to do without. In Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 12, the wise man Solomon wrote, "The sleep of the laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep." You think money solves everything? We think that, don't we? Oh, if I just had more money. You got more money, you got more problems. And money's not the solution to every man's problem. You know, the richest man on earth, if he gets terminal cancer, his money ain't going to help him. It's not going to prolong his life. He can get the best medical care under the sun. He's still going to die. That's not going to stop anything. You have all the money. And you have everything that you want. And you don't want for anything. Does that mean you don't have any problems? Does that mean nothing bad is going to happen to you? When Sam Walton died, he divided up his money. He's a man in Walmart. Made all five of his children billionaires. Within 2 years of Mr. Walton's death, his son, one of his oldest sons, who was a billionaire many times over, he died in a plane that he built himself, a glider, and died trying to fly it. All his money didn't save him. Oh, he had enough money he could have bought a plane and had a pilot fly him anywhere he wanted to go. But that's not what he wanted to do. A lot of people have money, but it doesn't stop problems. I read a book one time about Elvis Presley. A man that had $1 million in the checking account every day that he lived. And today, he's still worth more money, and he's been gone over 30-some years. But you know what? He had no life. He couldn't go shopping. If he wanted to go shopping, he had to go and rent the whole store after midnight. If he wanted to take his little girl to go to the amusement park, he had to rent the whole thing, and he had to go at midnight because he couldn't be out in the public. He was hounded by his fame. Would you like to change places with him? You think all that adoration that he had, all the following he had, he was like a cult figure. And to this day, he still is. He died at 42 years old of a heart attack, brought on by the prescription drugs that he tried to get him up and get him to sleep and to get him to move. It really worked out for him, didn't it? Have you ever thought sometimes, oh, I wish I was this person? You better be careful. You know what we look at? We look at what we can see. But let me tell you, what you can see is not everything. Sometimes we say, oh, I wish I was in their shoes. You better back up. You may be better off in the shoes you're in. That's accepting our position. Learn to be content. Learn to be content. In conclusion, Christians receive the means to deal with anxiety. Anxiety cannot destroy you. Stress cannot kill you if you learn the remedy. If you accept the medicine, and if you'll take the prescription. Peace comes through prayer, as we've studied in Philippians chapter 4. And reassuring confidence from trusting in God is what's going to help us. You want to overcome anxiety? Here's what you do. You trust in God. You pray in faith that is unwavering. You read your Bible. You learn its wisdom. You make its application. You be realistic with your problem, what you can do and what you can't do. You set your mind and you're going to overcome the worry. You learn to live one day at a time. You stay busy and you learn to be content. And one other thing. You learn to be eternally grateful for the blessings and the love that God showers upon us every day that we live on this earth. Every day we live on this earth, We need to be thankful to God for the air that we breathe, for the love that we have and the relationships that we have, the joy that He brings into our lives, and the unwavering knowledge that my sin that could separate me from my God for all eternity have been severed and have been erased by the blood of His Son upon a cross. And brethren, is there any problem and any situation that's worth losing your soul? No way. The darkest road you ever traveled down this world, in this world, the darkest trial that you ever have, the most, if you become financially bankrupt tomorrow, whatever happens, don't let go of God. Because with God, you win. You win. He is in your corner. He is there by your side. He'll never tire of you asking for His help. He'll never turn a deaf ear. And He will never be too busy to listen to what we need. I have a lot of friends, as I said this morning, that I've been blessed with in my life. I've been blessed to be able to travel all over this world. And I have friends on many different continents. But I don't have any friend like Jesus. I don't have anybody that I can depend upon 24/7. Any time, any place, any situation, any difficulty, anything that could destroy my faith, I have an answer in my Savior. And brethren, you have it too. Don't waste it. Don't overlook it and don't minimize it. And so today, we've talked about how to overcome anxiety, stress, trial, difficulty. This is God's wisdom. This is how it's accomplished. But you have to believe it. You have to accept it. But then you got to put it in practice. How are you doing in your life? If you're here and you're not a child of God, you're fighting this battle alone. You're not fighting it alone because God doesn't love you. You're not fighting alone because God's not concerned. You're fighting alone because that's what you've chosen to do up until this point in time. But God has a way for you to get into the race. You render obedience to the gospel of Christ. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and baptizing, that will put you into Christ, but that's not going to miraculously take away your problems. Whatever problem that you face in your personal life, when you come up out of this water, when you arise to walk in newness of life, the greatest problem that you had when you went into that water now has been removed. The problem of sin that you had that condemned you and separated you from God, that problem has been solved. But the other problems, you're going to have to learn to deal with in your own life. But here's the difference now. The difference now is you have somebody that has the answers to every one of your problems. And He is there to help you overcome every one of them. That's the blessings of being a Christian. And brethren, that's why I've told you 100 times if I told you once. It is the greatest life to live. It has the greatest retirement plan. It has the greatest benefits. And it has ironclad guarantee that will always be there. You know, there are a lot of people who work for companies. They thought they'd have a retirement, and then they pull the rug out from under them. That's not going to happen with God. God's not going to promise something and then take it off the table. You're here, and you're a child of God, and you're dealing with stress, anxiety. You're dealing with worry. Maybe it's because you're not trusting God enough. Maybe it's because you're not putting your faith into practice enough. And maybe it's because you've forgotten the weapons you have that God has given you to help you deal with your problems. No, they won't go away tonight. No, they won't always be pleasant to deal with. But I can guarantee you this, that if you'll let God help you and you'll lean upon His understanding, You will deal with them. You will live with them. And your faith will be strengthened. And it will be better. Because your faith will have been tested by fire. And it will come out to be more genuine. If we can help you in your struggle tonight in any way, we're here to help you, to pray with you and for you, to render obedience tonight. Whatever your need might be, we're here to help as together we stand and as we sing.